Thank you for getting up early and coming out. My name is Pat Fetty. I'm a principal PM manager. I'm actually based out of Redmond. I am part of what we call the customer experience team. And we are part of the Intune engineering org. So the customer experience team, if you think about this, we basically, in the Intune engineering side, we handle all the sort of external customer-facing activities. So we have a pre-sales team. We have a team that leads our partner ecosystem. We have a team that does mass deployment via the O365 Fast Track program. We have a team that handles all Intune customer support. And then we have my team, which is called the Customer Acceleration Team. We are now a global team, now that we have hired Mr. Shadbolt here down in Australia. And our role, our job, is to help customers, help enterprise customers primarily, get their devices enrolled into Intune. Our three primary functions are around deployment, are around getting engineering feedback. So as we're part of the engineering team, and as we work with customers, we take the lessons that we learn in the field, customer requirements, things that are working well for customers, things that aren't working well, things that they want to see built, and we bring that information back to Redmond and hopefully build you a better service. Around that, we're also very active in knowledge sharing, so we do a lot of training for system integrators. We do train the trainer events. We do a lot of blogging, a lot of white papers, a lot of TechNet articles. So we are, our team is sort of the technical experts in terms of deploying Intune. So what we're going to talk about today is, just as the title said, we're going to talk about how you can use Intune to essentially secure your mobile assets. And your mobile assets in this context are essentially your devices, your applications, and your data. Intune is part of what we call the Enterprise Mobility Suite. It's typically how Intune is sold to customers. The Enterprise Mobility Suite, if you're not aware, how many are familiar with EMS or the Enterprise Mobility Suite? Fantastic. EMS is a bundle of services which contains Azure Active Directory, which is the identity piece of the service. It contains, obviously, Microsoft Intune, and it contains the Rights Management Service, or Azure RMS. And so when you look at how you go about securing devices, applications, data, et cetera, the EMS suite is essentially contributing, and the pieces that are required for you to meet this goal. Now, the bit on the bottom here, I'm a little surprised. How many saw Brad's keynote on Tuesday? So it turns out we work for Brad. Brad is a phenomenal speaker and just a phenomenal guy. And he is the one that came up with what we call, I call it a mission statement or whatever you want to call it. But essentially, anybody that works for Brad typically leads off with this statement as their slide. And I didn't see Brad do it on Tuesday, which I was a little surprised at. But essentially, when you talk about Intune, our goal is to help organizations enable their users to be productive on the devices they love and helping secure corporate assets. I paraphrase, sorry. Notice that it says be productive on the devices you love. I've been in the booth, we have an EMS booth in the expo hall, and I was really surprised to hear how many people would come up and ask, hey, does Intune manage iOS and Android devices, right? If you think about the history of Microsoft, and I've been at Microsoft 18 years, and 17 years of that was in the Windows division, 10 years ago, this would have said, you know, help you be productive on a Windows device, right? It's a whole new world now at Microsoft. You know, our new CEO is really kind of pushing our cloud-first, mobile-first initiative, and that means the world is bigger than just Windows. In fact, in the mobile space, Windows is the underdog, if you will. So we are sort of device agnostic when you think about Intune. So obviously, managing mobile devices, whether it's Windows, but essentially iOS, Android, Windows devices as well, and of course Windows 10 is part of that suite as well. So as we kind of look at the lay of the land today, this would look like your sort of typical infrastructure today. Depending on how aggressive or how conservative your company may be, some folks have sort of made the move to the cloud already. Some folks are contemplating it. And some folks are still in this world. Think of it as just sort of the on-premise world, where you have on-premise Active Directory, the thing we all know and love that's been around for eons now. You have on-premise Exchange, SharePoint, solutions around mail and documents. But the DMZ is the thing that is sort of the protection layer. The DMZ has been around forever. There's lots of products. An entire industry has been built around this concept of sort of putting a perimeter around the edge, whether it's proxies, firewalls, gateways, whatever you want to call them. The DMZ is what it is, right? It's the demilitarized zone. That's what DMZ stands for. And then today, you kind of have, you know, the wild, wild world of the internet, right? Where you have, you're accessing data on mobile devices via browsers, PCs, et cetera. When we look at this and we kind of look at where the world is going, and again, I try and avoid using the cloud first, mobile first thing because it just sounds like I'm sales and marketing when actually I'm an engineer. But today, as we start to move to cloud-based solutions, right, and of course we're highlighting here Exchange, the O365 solutions, et cetera, the challenge you have is that perimeter, that DMZ that you've built over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years can't protect you any longer, right? Your mobile devices are rarely attached to your corporate network in many cases. If you're in a sort of BYOD scenario where your constituents bring in their own device, well, that device goes home with them, and they access the internet, and they access data on their device at their leisure. And so this perimeter that you've built, this protection layer, just simply doesn't work in the mobile world. What Brad talked about on Tuesday was really fascinating in that I believe his quote was, identity is the new perimeter. And I believe that to be completely true, and not just because I work for Brad, but the reality is that the perimeter that you had before to protect on-premise data just simply is ineffective now. Right? So how do you ensure that your devices are only connecting to assets that you want them to connect to, they're only seeing data that you want them to see, and they're only running applications that you want them to see? So as we look at this, right, the solution to this modern world of access to cloud services is really around containment of the applications and the data. And I'm going to walk you through how exactly we do that in more detail. So when we kind of look at what we call the data protection layers today, so you have your standard mobile device on the left, right? Nothing super fancy. Could be a tablet, phone, whatever. And in the new world where we're accessing, whether it be Office applications, whether it be your corporate network, Azure Active Directory, which is one of the three services that's part of the EMS suite, is sort of your first layer of defense, right? Gives you access control, like tell me who you are before you can come in. We support things like multi-factor authentication. You get a single sign-on experience, et cetera. So identity, again, being that sort of glue, that cement, that first layer of defense when you talk about protecting information in the cloud. Intune, which is obviously we're going to go into a lot deeper here. Intune is your device management solution, as well as your application management solution, and helps you deal with what we call data containment. And then, of course, RMS, which is your sort of file-level protection solution, right? To be able to say, I want to send a document to Matt, and I want only Matt to be able to read it. RMS is kind of the top layer, or the final layer of protection. So in the cloud-first world, what we call this is the Enterprise Mobility Suite, which most of you are already familiar with, but those are essentially the components and sort of how we think about EMS. So when you look at what we just call a typical EMM stack, and essentially what I'm referring to is our competitors. I'm not going to name names, but you can imagine, I'm sure most of you have solutions deployed that are non-Intune. In fact, I'd like to see by a raise of hands, who has an MDM solution deployed today that's not Intune? See, we've got our work cut out for us. That's why we hired Matt. And by the way, Matt covers the entire continent. So he's the one guy in Australia, so if you need help, just call Matt. Today, what are the approach that our competitors take? The term container is sort of an industry buzzword that was created by our competitors to essentially give you the premise that, well, we have a container solution, so we're going to keep all of your data within that container so that you're safe and secure. And on the surface, that makes sense. You say, okay, well, that sounds okay. Well, how you get to that container essentially is the applications that you're using typically have to be wrapped by that provider's SDK. And so when you look at how we actually do that, so taking a mail client, a word processor, a spreadsheet, whatever, wrapping it in a specialized SDK gives you that container solution. But the one thing you'll notice is that, and many of you, almost all of you, it seemed like, when you raised your hands, are using a competing solution. So if you are using a competing solution, most likely you are using a custom spreadsheet editor or a custom mail app, a custom file app, whatever it may be. Essentially, that's a non-Outlook, non-PowerPoint, non-Office type of solution. So essentially, the solution to get this container capability is to take a custom collaboration app, wrap it, and then you have what you call the protection around within this container. And then, of course, everybody kind of, when you talk about device management, the sort of standard MDM things around making sure the device has a PIN, making sure that the device is encrypted, making sure it's not jailbroken, et cetera, that's sort of the what we call a typical enterprise mobility stack. So let's take a look at how Microsoft approaches this. So today, again, right, you have your on-premise world where you have Active Directory, SharePoint, Exchange, et cetera, online. We also have an SDK or a wrapper that if you want to take your line of business applications, whatever those may be, you can wrap them using our SDK, and then you can manage them via Intune. You'll notice that in the second box, when we talk about productivity applications, we are actually using the Office suite of applications and are protecting them with Intune. So the solution around Office is that Office has built the mobile applications using the Intune SDK and essentially gives you that level of protection for data leakage, for ensuring that only the proper application is running on the device, and allows you to manage that with Intune. Now, the question we get a lot, and the question I've actually had a few times this week, is why is this only applicable to Intune? In other words, why can only Intune manage the Office suite of applications? Well, the reason is that to give you this level of protection and control with competing MDM stacks, it means that either A, the Office team would have to share their source code with each of our competing MDM solutions, and then they would then wrap that with their SDK so that you had a version that can be managed by whatever MDM provider you choose. That's one option. Or the other option would be that Office would build their applications using the SDK from each of these competitors, and then they would distribute those applications. If you think about that, this becomes a source control nightmare. Essentially, you could have 20 versions of Microsoft Word, one for each mobile device management vendor, and the ability to manage that, to keep it up to date, to patch it, to deploy it, is an incredible headache. And the engineering cost for the Office team to be able to support something like that is astronomical. Now, of course, we have a very close relationship with the Office team. We're all one Microsoft, if you believe that. And essentially, the solution that Office has chosen is, of course, to integrate with Intune. But it's not just because we are sort of taking our ball and running away, saying we're not going to play with the rest of the industry. It's actually just the opposite. In fact, on Tuesday in the States, I don't know if anybody see the announcement that Satya made and Brad's subsequent blog? One guy. All right. I got a T-shirt for you. See me afterwards. So we made an announcement that I'm going to go into more detail at the end of the deck, but we announced a handful of partners now that are taking the Intune SDK, creating applications for that. SAP Fioria, Adobe, et cetera. I think there's about a dozen or so partners that we announced. So the ability to do what we call data leakage protection with Office is now being expanded beyond just the Office suite of applications. So in here, we only show PowerPoint, Excel, et cetera. Outlook is, of course, on the list. It couldn't fit on the slide. Skype for Business is in the pipeline. Yammer is in the pipeline. So if you think about any of the Microsoft productivity mobile applications, and I just named a couple of them there, they are very soon to be manageable by Intune. And again, the primary benefit of this, which we'll get into in a minute, is around data leakage protection. And I'll tell you, we'll talk about that and what that means. And then, of course, the device management bit. Every MDM provider has these, what we call just kind of basic MDM controls around device PIN and encryption, et cetera. And of course, this all works today with Intune, with your on-premise infrastructure. But of course, we are moving to, you know, to a cloud-based service. And so the differentiator we have with Intune is that, of course, we can work with what you may have today, which is your sort of legacy on-premise infrastructure. But at the same time, we've built in native integration with Exchange and SharePoint Online. So the ability, as we saw a few slides ago, to integrate with Azure Active Directory so that on your mobile device, when you sign in with your Office 365 credentials, you get that single sign-on experience across all of the Office suite of applications and services. So this is a new slide we put together, which shows you some of the standard, just call them individual or information worker scenarios that are supported and very easily supported with Intune. Typically people think, okay, well, it's either a corp-owned device or it's a BYOD device and it needs to access email and it needs to access documents, et cetera. But the kiosk scenario, so we have a number of customers that are deploying what we just call the kiosk scenario. So for instance, I didn't see any kiosks around in this particular event, but if you think about the kiosk at a hotel where you walk in and perhaps you check into your room, or you're at an event like this and you want to check your email, so you log in with your corporate credentials, and essentially that device is locked down to only show the browser and to basically have it in kiosk, take Internet Explorer as the example, have it in kiosk mode so that you're not caching any credentials. So being able to manage that with Intune is something that that we've added additional support to in the last couple of months. The personal iPad or home PC, again, the mobile device in the BYOD scenario, we've always supported, but now we've actually added additional capabilities to that. And we talk about the home PC. One of the things that we talk about down here around what we call mobile application management conditional access. Sorry, everything's an acronym at Microsoft. The ability to protect the mobile device to say, I only want the Outlook client to be able to connect to, the managed Outlook client to be able to connect to my email. Well, the big gap that we heard from customers is that, well, that's fantastic, but that same guy goes home, logs into his Windows 7 PC, opens up the browser, goes to OWA, and can read email. Like, okay, you're right, that's a gap. This is a gap that we've addressed, and we're actually taking this capability, I believe, back to the Windows 7 platform so that not just the mobile device and the mobile application are under management, but that same set of rules that apply to the mobile device will also apply to the home PC and the browser. Okay, so it's about taking the service and protecting it at all layers, whether you're on a mobile device or in this case on a home PC as well. Of course, managed devices, fairly straightforward. A lot of folks really, really want to lock down their mobile devices. So we give you the ability to lock it down as tightly as you want. Conditional access is something we'll talk about a little bit later in more detail. But conditional access is a fantastic feature that really allows you to sort of lock down access to both SharePoint and Exchange. And then, of course, what we call the shared device. This is kind of the restaurant scenario where you have waiters and waitresses that on various shifts may be using, you know, handing off a tablet to somebody else to take orders in a restaurant. And essentially that's, you know, that device is not necessarily tied to a specific user. Actually it's actually tied to the restaurant and to their account so that when my shift is over, I can just hand the device to somebody else. They can pick it up and continue to do their work. So and these are just four, you know, very, very common scenarios, but all four of these scenarios are things that we actually support and support very well in Intune today. So I believe Brad also touched on this a little bit. He had a different looking slide, but his message, the concept he was trying to portray is that architecture matters. When you talk about competing solutions, and many of these solutions are sort of on-prem, meaning that it requires servers to be on your premise that act as gateways, VPN concentrators, proxies, whatever they may be. We actually have started and built Intune from the ground up with collaboration with the Azure team, as well as the O365 team. So this native experience is kind of what we call it. essentially, you know, allows you as a cloud-based service to be guaranteed, you know, geo-redundancy, to be guaranteed failover, to be guaranteed scale, to be guaranteed the solution that you're investing in EMS or Intune, is always there and always available. Being cloud services, right, we have each of the services has what we call a trust center. And so one of the things that we're learning in Redmond, thanks to our presence here, is that, you know, every country in Australia has their own unique rules about how you collect data, how you protect data, how data can be distributed, who can access that data. And every country around the world is different. And so our trust center is essentially addressing each of those countries' unique needs so that whether it's a privacy regulation, whether it's a data sovereignty regulation, that you can invest in our services with confidence, because we've actually gone and done the homework to understand what it means to deliver a cloud-based service in Australia. What are the regulations and rules that we have to abide by? And so there's a lot of work that's happening around there. Our data centers, in some cases, what did Brad quote? I think Brad mentioned we're spending about $5 billion a year on Azure data center expansions. In a lot of cases, Intune is piggybacking on the Azure data centers that are being built. And in some cases, we're building our own data centers, which may seem kind of silly, but when you look at the guts of the Intune service, in some cases it does require, and of course it depends on the country, where in terms of concentration of devices and so forth, where we just may need to have our own presence. And of course, you know, compliance, certification, all those things. You know, when you build a data center, it's not just putting up the building, you know, throwing a T1 connection into there and you know, having it run. There's a tremendous amount of work around certification, compliance, you know, things like physical access to the data centers, stuff like that. And Microsoft is kind of new to this business of building data centers, right? Just rewind back 10 years ago, before Azure was a twinkle in somebody's eye. You know, at that point, you know, we didn't need to build data centers, right? We had things like Xbox Live, right, which is a service that you know, we would rent space in another data center to get that going. But then as we started to move toward the cloud, this is actually a business we had to understand and get into. So it's really kind of fascinating as we understand what it takes or what it means to run a cloud service that basically applies all of these principles and, more importantly, is certified and compliant for the country that we're in. So the other unique thing about Intune is that you have what we call deployment choices, or more important, I call them architecture choices, and I probably should change the slide. But so again, Intune is a cloud service, right? So the simple deployment option you would have is basically just consume the cloud service. Take your mobile device and roll it into Intune service. You get your policies pulled down, you're off and running. You would manage this through a web console, very standard kind of stuff. You create all your policies there, assign them to groups, et cetera. It's fairly straightforward, right? But you'll notice, you know, this has nothing on-premise, right? This is just your mobile device consuming the Intune cloud service. With that being said, we have another architecture, another deployment option. We call this internally the hybrid option, okay? How many of you have Config Manager deployed today? Fantastic. Kind of figured that would be the case. So you have Config Manager today, which is our on-premise PC management solution that the majority of the room has. You guys are all familiar with it. It's been around for 25 years, I think. I could be wrong, but it's been around a long time. And so what we've done here is essentially we've built, we call it a connector. So essentially, it's a bit of software that you install within your ConfigMan hierarchy that connects to the Intune service. And now what it allows you to do is that as you go into the ConfigMan console, that's where you create your policies, your mobile device policies. And that's where you assign them to groups, users, et cetera. And essentially, with that communication, that connection to the Intune service, you now have a single pane of glass or a single console in ConfigMan to manage all of the PCs you've been managing for the last decade, but now you can manage your mobile devices as well, right? Again, this is something that's completely unique to Intune. The integration that the work that we've had to do between Intune and ConfigMan has been rather significant. In fact, I believe tomorrow, or today, right? Later today, Matt and Maka and some others are going to do a session on kind of what's coming next in, what's coming in vNext of Config Manager, and as well as, additional capabilities with Intune as well. So, what's really fascinating about this is that, it gives you the integration of one place to manage all your devices. It is something no one else can offer. And in many cases with Config Manager, as you guys well know, and I don't really claim to be a Config Man expert. In fact, I will never do that. But you get so much more rich reporting capabilities, inventory capabilities. You get so much granular role-based access control or RBAC. So this as a deployment option, which you've got ConfigMan on-premise, so the ability to hook this in is actually really simple, really straightforward. But then you get the ability of Intune to manage your devices, and then all of the rich, cool stuff that you've been doing with ConfigMan for the last decade or so. Again, something really, really unique to Intune in terms of your deployment choices. Typically, our competitors, there's one option, right? On-prem server or on-prem servers connecting to potentially some cloud service, but there's no other MDM solution that integrates like this with Config Manager. So this would be no fun if I didn't tell you what are some of the things that we're thinking of in terms of our roadmap. These are purposely vague because. In this new world that we're in, and again, as I had spent 17 years in Windows. I know Windows inside and out. That's a battle we won, I think, on the desktop at least, in the server room as well. But in the mobile world, in the Intune world, things move very, very quickly. In fact, there's no slide on this, but essentially we're adding innovations to the Intune service on a monthly basis. We actually add a payload to the Intune service every month. We then blast out communications as to, okay, here's what we've added, here's links to documentation, et cetera. When we look at our roadmap, Win10 in the enterprise, of course, is really starting to become a management scenario we need to pay attention to. Was last Tuesday, I believe, we released the Threshold 2 build, or was it 10.5.86? Was that the build number? Did I get that right? Thank you. I don't know, I downloaded the ISO and I had to run to the airport. So our investment in Win10, of course, is to take advantage from a management perspective of all the things that are in that build. So specifically, you look at some of the security features around Windows Hello and Passport. How many of you have heard of those two features? Fantastic. I believe they're demoing some of these things in the event booth or in the event center. So the ability to manage that, control policy around that, is something Intune is adding. In fact, this is going to start dropping in payloads. The November payload has just dropped, so starting in December. So as enterprises really gear up on Threshold 2, we will be adding real-time management capabilities with that. In some cases, we're already ahead of the Windows 10 team as well. Around IT experience, we'll cover this in a couple of slides, but one of the things that we realize is a bit of a headache today. And again, most of you were familiar with EMS. How many of you have tried to deploy any part of EMS? Let me ask that one. A very smaller number. Wow, fascinating. How many of you have purchased EMS? Let me ask that. About the same number of folks that have tried to deploy it. In fact, almost the exact same hands. One of the things you'll notice, unfortunately today, is the experience around logging into different portals to get different things done. Is a real headache. I will readily admit that. Again, I'm a customer-facing guy. We hear it all the time. So the sort of concatenation or merging of these portals is something that's happening right now. We don't have a time frame to announce or anything like that. But today, you go into the Azure port or the Azure AD portal to do something, like to create a user or reset a password. You go into the O365 portal to create mailboxes and do something else. Then you go into the Intune portal and do your Intune thing. And oh, by the way, don't forget to assign Intune licenses to your folks. And so those of you that raise your hand that are trying to deploy this are probably nodding your head, going, "Yep, it's a pain in the rear end." So that's something we're certainly addressing. EMS is fascinating from a standpoint that it is three unique services that are developed from three different engineering teams. We all come up to the same president in Scott Guthrie, But with that, I mean, there is some challenges around, you know, these were built from the ground up. And then now once we get to a critical mass where I think you heard Brad say on Tuesday, EMS is literally the fastest growing business in the history of Microsoft. We will be a $1 billion business this year. The numbers beyond that are staggering that Brad has shared internally with us. But with that comes a lot of work to really take these three, you know, Azure AD, RMS, and Intune, which if you look at them on the surface are three very different things, but then bring the experiences together, especially around admin and management. And then, of course, again, we talk about the quality of the experience. One of the things, unfortunately, Matt spent a lot of time putting together some really cool demos in the EMS booth, and the Wi-Fi has just been horrendous. Everybody in the Microsoft booth over there is sharing the same Wi-Fi network as you are. So if everybody would shut off their phones for the rest of the week, then we could actually show you the demos that we built. But one of the things that we like to talk to customers about is the actual the experience of the IW, of the person that's holding the device. We're obviously very keen on your experience, and when I say you, as IT folks or folks that are creating policy, but the IW worker is really important as well, because typically that I say the term IW worker, but that could be a student, right? It turns out in Australia, for whatever reason, some of the largest educational institutions have signed the largest EMS deals in Microsoft. Literally, that's no exaggeration. We have a customer that signed a 600,000 plus device deal. We have another one that signed a 325,000 plus deal. I don't know what it is in the water down here. We love you for signing these big deals. But when you talk about that, I mean, and Matt here obviously spent a lot of time and Brad was off spending, Matt and Brad were off visiting, 12 customers in 2 days. That, you know, the folks that are actually consuming the Intune service may not be somebody like us, a geek like us that understands things and are probably more tolerable of a poorer experience, right? But if there's some kid who can't get on his iPad to do his homework or can't log into O365, well, that just gives that kid an excuse not to do his homework, right? And so at that point, the whole experience kind of fails. And so in Intune especially, and again, there's so many things I'd love to share about the Intune team that we don't have time for, but I'm happy to do that. Happy to do that tonight. I'll buy you all the free beers you guys want at the party. But we're very cognizant of the end user experience. And so we're doing a lot of work around improving the company portal app. By the way, who has actually seen the company portal app? It's the same people that are trying to deploy. So that we do have, we can show you that in our booth, but what's great about it is that whether you're on a Windows device, a Win10 device, an iOS device, an Android device, the app looks the same, right? The look and the feel, where you find applications, where you find settings, there's some slight nuances in some of these, but that end user experience is something we actually really, really pay attention to. Some of the other stuff that's kind of coming in Win10, some of these things are already here. Azure AD, an AAD join is what we call it. That's something you can do today. We are certainly improving the experience around that. Has anybody tried doing an Azure AD join? Okay. Azure AD join is, think of it as a lighter version of your standard domain join that you've done for years, right? So you join the domain, you know, you get a little, hey, welcome to the Redmond domain kind of thing. And then in the background, a whole bunch of stuff's happening. You're pulling down, you know, group policies and logon scripts and all this business. This, in this case, actually is a much lighter thing where you're authenticating to Azure Active Directory. At that point, you're going to be pushed down a token. That token allows you to go across multiple services, so you get a single sign-on experience. It also pulls you down a certificate, typically for your enterprise, so that you can connect to your Wi-Fi network, you know, VPN, et cetera, whatever you guys use certificates for. Enterprise data protection is coming in a future release. What enterprise data protection is, and boy, I wish we had this today to show you the demo. We talked about containers early on, where you know, and we talked about how they work around taking an SDK and wrapping, et cetera, et cetera. And enterprise data protection from a Windows perspective in Windows 10 makes the platform the container. So I know that sounds weird. It sounds like some stupid buzzword I just made up. But in reality, the demo I saw about a month ago was, I've just got a Win10 machine. I go into the Intune console. I apply a policy that says, I don't want data to be shared from the Mozilla Firefox browser to Word. So Mozilla being an unmanaged app and then Word being a managed app, right? So at that point, the demo is you try and, you know, you open up a web page, you try and cut information from that web page and paste it into Word, and it's prevented, okay? I don't have time or the ability to go into the guts of that. The demo is extremely compelling. It doesn't require Mozilla to be wrapped. I mean, we don't have the source code, so we can't wrap it. It actually turns the platform into that container. So it makes the deployment, the data leakage protection capabilities, so much easier to deploy and manage. It is fascinating, and it's a fantastic feature that's coming in a few months. Universal App Management, there is a new business store that we're building. I'm sure you guys are aware of that. I'm going to try and pick up the pace here. I don't know how are we doing on time, Maddie? Okay, I'm all right. All right, or you can, I'm sure they're like, tell us, gotta shut up. All right, edition upgrades. So the ability to do easy in-place upgrades if you want to go from pro to enterprise, etc. I know we've kind of, unfortunately, we've confused, I think, the market in terms of editions and SKUs. And then, have you guys heard of the concept of consumer branch for business, long-term stable branch? You guys heard these? CBB, LTSB, because everything has to be an acronym at Microsoft. We kind of put that out there, and being the geeks that we are, it just really confused the heck out of everybody, so we're trying to clean that up a bit. Compliance and attestation is actually a new-ish feature, let's just say, to Windows 10. I am an old network access protection guy, so you guys remember NAP back in the server you keep raising your hand. You already got the T-shirt. You don't have to raise your hand for everything. So attestation and compliance, similar type of concept, right? Where in this case, when the device is coming onto the network, essentially there are certain things you want to be able to check, like is BitLocker enabled? Is there a TPM chip on the device? And then there's a small, you know, handful of list of things that are not necessarily unique to a mobile device, but we have to integrate those compliance rules into our own conditional access set of rules. So today in Intune for conditional access, you can say, you know, make sure the device isn't jailbroken, make sure there's a strong PIN, et cetera. So the stuff for attestation and compliance in Windows 10, that's also going to be added to Intune. Hub and HoloLens, I heard the other day there was somebody do a HoloLens demo where they were showing Halo 5. Did anybody see that? You've been around, man. I had no idea this was going on. I am a Halo fanatic, especially Halo 5. If there was some way I could take my Xbox One and bring it in my backpack, I would have. I understood that they had this really cool thing. But anyway, managing these devices, right? When the HoloLens becomes a device that you'll all own and be, you know, walking around your living room playing Halo and tripping over your dog, right? That kind of thing. Intune will be in that management story, right? The Surface Hubs. Any guys seen? Anybody have a Surface Hub? Yeah, a few of you. They're the big, massive screen that, you know, is touchscreen. It's integrated with Skype. You basically talk to the thing, and it just spins up meetings for you. I think we have them in about 20 buildings on campus right now. So if you get lucky and you got a meeting in one of these buildings, you get to play with one of these things. Right? You can draw with your finger on it and all that stuff. But managing that is something we're adding to Intune as well. So again, talking about the IT experience. One of the big things that we're doing, I wish I could show you the slides. I couldn't get a firm answer from Redmond early this morning as to whether or not these are still NDA. But one of the things we are doing is we are getting rid of the current Intune console today, which is based on Silverlight. Primary reason is that it's long in the tooth. It's kind of served its purpose. And in fact, I believe the latest versions of Chrome no longer support Silverlight, so that kind of knocks out your choices there. So the new admin console, which again, I had to take the slides out, I wish I could show you, is based on HTML5, and it looks essentially exactly like the Azure console, and that's done purposely. So that, again, we talked about unifying that admin experience, that's what we're talking about. So. The unification across trial, commerce, and admin experiences. Again, today that is a bit of a bifurcated sort of solution where you kind of have to bounce around. Again, the consoles will all be HTML5 based, and they will all look exactly like the Azure console does today. Some of the things around MAM and conditional access, we're going to talk about our announcement here in a couple of slides, and I'm going to go into detail. And I'm basically going to cut through Brad's 20-page blog and give you the skinny on what that is. Next year being next calendar year, some of the things that we're talking about. So additional parameters around conditional access. We talked about some of the Windows 10 things. One of the features I believe we just dropped is OS version check. So in other words, you know, you can have a policy that says, make sure you're running iOS version 8 dot whatever, or Android version whatever. So that's something we're adding. And we're going to continue to add to the conditional access checklist. One of the things that we have been asked about countless times is, I want to be able to ensure that only the managed Outlook application is accessing my email. That is coming soon. I believe it's first quarter of the calendar year of 2016, so early next spring. But there's lots of additional integrations around, especially around conditional access, that we're going to add. Today, conditional access is fairly simple and straightforward. We have a handful of things that, if you meet these criteria, you get access to email, SharePoint, et cetera. So other sort of broader initiatives that we're talking about, scale. Scale is something that we will always be investing in. Like, you think about this in the Windows days, right? Hey, what's coming in Windows V next? Oh, it's going to be faster. Well, I mean, it's always good. We're always going to try and make things faster, right? Boot time being the big one, right? Oh, boot time is going to be way faster. And then, of course, you get the build and it's slower. But for us, scale is a big thing. So we are building new data centers around the planet. I can't, unfortunately, tell you where or when. I believe I can tell you that your continent is getting one, but I probably said too much. But so continuing to scale is a key for us. So again, we are piggybacking on some of the new Azure data centers, and in some cases, we're building our own. Canary tenants, so the idea here is that if you are a bleeding edge, I want to test everything before it comes out, constant beta customer for everything out there, have we got a feature for you, right? So it's just like a thing. Right? You're going to be the canary in the coal mine, right? You're going to fly down there. You're going to tell if it works, or you're going to end up dead from the gases, right? One or the other, right? So the ability to, for certain customers that really want to get an early look, like there may be something that we're building that you gave us feedback on that's critical to your business. And so, like, okay, we want to really get our hands on this to make sure it's, you know, Microsoft's doing something that's going to help us. So that canary tenant concept is something we're introducing very, very soon. Improved flighting. Flighting, I'm sure all of you have how many of you have participated in a TAP with Microsoft? Technology Adoption Program, it's what the acronym is. In Windows, my team used to run these TAPs, and essentially it's a beta program where we build something, we give you a build, we release it to you, you file bugs, give us feedback, we fix or don't fix things, and then we go back and forth and then we release, okay? In the services world, that model doesn't work because, again, this is a live service, 24/7, right? We can't shut it down and say we're in beta kind of thing. So flighting allows us to invite customers to these sort of pre-release programs that we have, and we have a program called the Customer Engagement Program, which I'm happy to get you more information on. But as we're sort of in beta with new features, we can then turn those on just for your tenant. So think about this, where let's say you're in a beta, or I'm sorry, you're in the CEP or customer engagement program with us, and we're building a new widget, and we can just say, all right, we're going to turn this on in your tenant tomorrow. Here's some docs as to how it works, how you set it up, et cetera, and we want you to give us feedback on that. And you'll be able to give feedback right through the Intune console, right? So you don't have to send email and do all that business. So flighting is something we just introduced in, I want to say, October. But we're going to continue to improve that. And more importantly, in terms of scale, we want to be able to flight to hundreds, if not thousands, of tenants. Right now, it's more like in the dozens kind of scale. Improved docs, it's always going to be the case. Diagnostic tools, we have heard this feedback, resounding feedback, that the Intune service is sort of a black box, right? And it is today, right? To diagnose connectivity things, like all of the mobile devices have the ability to send logs and do that. But in terms of gathering information from the Intune service, right? We have a dashboard that you can go into that says, oh, okay, well, North America is great, but Asia's down, right? That doesn't tell you anything. It doesn't help, right? So we're going to give you a lot more granular view into the health of the service to be able to run some more diagnostics, whether it's on the mobile device or in your console, to say, okay, well, some of your policies are conflicting. That's why your devices can't connect, et cetera. So that's going to be one of these investments that we're going to continue to iterate on over time. And, of course, availability and scale we already kind of talked about. So kind of giving you a wrap-up, I'm not going to read this slide. I think you guys get the fact that we are really, really focusing on the cloud-based scenarios. We are really, really tightly integrated with the Azure team, with the Office 365 team, in that our solutions, the Intune management solution with these services, is really a world-class experience. Something that that we feel is sort of a best of breed kind of service, and we're offering capabilities that our competitors simply can't. And it's not just because of our integration with these other services, but it's the fact that we're constantly iterating on the service. Every month there's something new coming. And we're going to get better at that. We're going to get better at the flighting. We're going to get better at communications. But even as we sit here today, we've got we've got some of the biggest names in the world that are on the Intune service, and we're going to continue to listen to their feedback. We're going to continue to work with these big customers. We're going to continue to work with the folks here in the room to make sure that we are really, really building a better service. Again, in my 18 years of experience, most of it being in Windows, I have never seen a group that is more sort of customer-focused than the Intune team. Before we came in, so we're the customer experience org, a year and a half ago we didn't exist. Me and two other guys that were with me, we came over, we were the first three people as part of this org, and now we're about 50 people or so, so we've grown in the last year. But the fact that we have a global team that if you have purchased EMS and you need deployment help with Intune, I can have somebody on a plane, on site, and get you up and running quickly. We are gold, Matt and I are gold, on number of devices on the service, right? And we want to make sure that not only can we get you on the service, but that it's doing the right things for you, that we're giving you the right value, that we're giving you the right capabilities. Because in the services business, we want you to stay on the service, right? If you think about the old world, like in Windows, is a classic example, right? Somebody would buy 2 million Windows licenses and then maybe deploy 10,000. We didn't care, right? We cashed the check, right? That's great. Buy more licenses, In the services world, it's a totally different mindset, right? It's really, we are truly in startup mode in the Intune team, right? It's a fascinating world to be in. And if you can't tell from my voice, this is the most exciting team I've ever been in. And the opportunity in front of us, because let's be honest, right? We are not the leading MDM provider today in the market. Right? Our competitors are, they've got years of a head start on us. They've got more customers. But with what we're building and the way that we're actually and truly focusing on the customer feedback, I think that's actually what's going to help us move forward. Right? Satya has really come in and changed the company in terms of this customer obsession is the term he uses. And I haven't seen it more demonstrated than in the Intune team. So, love to talk to you guys afterwards. If you have feedback, questions, we've got a booth on the floor that will be there all afternoon. But the one thing I want to leave you with in terms of what we announced Tuesday in the U.S., so Wednesday here. Again, not very few of you raised your hand when you saw Satya's announcement. Satya gave you the broad Microsoft view, and then Brad followed with a much more detailed blog, which is EMS specific. So what I'm gonna kind of cut through Brad's blog, and I'm gonna talk to you about the Intune thing that we released, because a lot of us have been waiting well over a year for November 17th. So what we released, what Brad blogged about earlier this week, we call it conditional access for mobile application management. The scenario is typically it's a BYOD scenario. So, and this, by the way, this was built from one customer. They're actually quoted in Brad's blog, so I won't say the name, but they're a very large chocolate maker in Switzerland. you guys can figure that out. 15 minutes. What's that? 15 minutes. Yep, brilliant. That said, we have hundreds of thousands of devices, but we don't want to be in the device management business. But at the same time, we have to protect who can access email, who can access our documents. You know, we don't want people grabbing our chocolate recipe and putting it on Facebook kind of thing. I mean, it's a silly scenario, but you know what I mean. So this one customer, who is a huge customer, of course, as we started to talk to other customers, we saw this trend. Like, yeah, I don't want to manage Pat's device, right? Because first of all, it's his device. I didn't pay for it. And what if I wipe it and I take off, you know, pictures of his kids and all that stuff? I mean, and you as users, right, you're probably leery of, you know, enrolling your device into your company's MDM solution. Because a lot of times it means they really have tight control, right? And it's true. A lot of, depending on how you enroll this, and of course, depending on your policies, right, that may lock down your device, to where the experience is just miserable. So what this feature is, and I believe this is the name we're rolling with, but I could be wrong, bring your own device, you bring it in, you say, okay, well, we're not going to enroll you into our MDM. So if you have an MDM solution today, whether one of our competitors, fantastic, because this will work. We're going to say, all right, we're going to manage the Office suite of applications, as well as applications from our partners that we announced earlier this week. So we'll manage the apps, we'll give you data leakage protection, preventing you from saving your personal OneDrive, preventing cut, copy, and paste between managed and unmanaged apps, without you having to enroll the device in Intune. So if you think about this, right, the requirement today, so we have this today, right? We're conditional access is deployed all over the place, but you got to enroll in Intune, okay? When I asked how many of you had Intune deployed, a very small number of hands, right? In fact, let me just refresh, who has a non-Intune MDM solution? Almost all of you. So we talked about earlier about, okay, well, Intune is the solution that manages the Office suite of applications, and as well as these other apps from our partners, and that list is going to grow over time. You don't have Intune today. Great, if you are invested in Office and want to be able to manage those applications and do it securely and give data leakage protection and all those cool things, this is what we announced last week. So this will obviously work if you're enrolled in Intune, and we want you to be enrolled in Intune, right? I mean, that's our job, that's what we're gold on. But if you have another MDM in place, you can now basically distribute the Office applications to those devices, manage them securely, protect the data without having to unenroll from your MDM today and then enroll into Intune. Now, what I had to remove, because I had seven more slides after this, was the actual UX that walked you through setting that up, right? They were seven screenshots that walked you through how to set this up. And it was in the new Azure HTML5 console. They were tagged as NDA. I got word from Redmond last night, said, well, you probably shouldn't show those. But to give you an idea of what it takes to deploy this, it's literally seven clicks. You say, okay, well, I want to add a new policy. I want to say these are the applications I want to protect. So the Office suite shows up there by default. I say these are the parameters I want to check for, or these are the things I want to make sure everybody punches in a pin when they open up Word. I want to make sure to prevent cut, copy, paste, all that cool stuff. You then say, who do I want this policy to be applied to? You can do it to a user group. You can do it to a specific platform. Say, all iOS devices I want to apply this to. You click save, and that's it. Now, a lot of you, if you're geeky like me, you're like, well, how does that work? The way it works is that, first of all, so to have this, right, the Office team is revamping the Office apps right now. Not sure what the release date is, but it does require new versions of the Office apps. The communication channel is built into the Office applications. So today in the MDM world, right, whether you're using Intune or whatever, you have some sort of agent on the device, and then that agent knows to talk to its MDM authority, which is what that's called. In Intune, it's our company portal application, and then it talks to the Intune service, or it talks to your ConfigMan environment, right, depending on how you're set up. So that communication channel, again, is built into the service, so that as the user on their mobile device opens up Word, it goes back to the Intune service, says, hey, Pat's opening up Word here. Do we have policies that we need to apply to this? And say, yep, we pull the policies down. It's a one-time thing, right? Unless you change the policies, and then you'll pull new policies. And at that point, you're managing the application and the data without having to enroll in Intune, right? We are so excited about this. Again, most of you, who said, I have something other than Intune, this now gives you an option to manage the Office suite of apps without having to enroll in our MDM. Super, super exciting. I wish I had you can do it on Monday of next week kind of thing. Don't have that yet. Brad, we will blast this out to the world as soon as it's available. I know that a lot of folks are working hard on this. We've got holidays coming up in the States, so I'm not sure if we're going to do it before or after the holidays. But anyway, what this does is it gives you time to plan. It gives you time to think about, okay, well, yeah, we are invested in O365, and yeah, I would like to do that. Now you can reach out to your account team and say, well, how do I actually get this capability without purchasing EMS, for instance, right? You can just purchase Intune licenses for this. But anyway, gives you lots of options, lots of capabilities. So with that, I believe I'm a little early, so I will happily give you a few minutes back of your time. If you've got questions or anything, I will hang around here for the next 10 minutes or so. Once again, I'd love to thank you for coming out. I know it's early in the morning. Hope to see you guys at the party tonight. I am absolutely looking forward to it. So thanks again, and have a fantastic rest of your day.